name is Joel Suntz, and I'm here again with the Magnify Him Together podcast. This is episode 34, and this week we are continuing with a series of studies focused on the progress reports taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Last week we began this series by looking at the victory over unbelief, when Peter's speech pierced the hearts of the crowd on the day of Pentecost, and over 3,000 people were driven to take action, specifically to be baptized and to follow the example of Christ. That period in a believer's life can be wonderful, full of zeal, but sadly, it's often not too long after baptism that we fail. And this week, we want to draw two lessons from Acts chapter 3 and 4 from the next progress report. The second progress report is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. To establish some context, Acts chapter 3 is all about the healing of the lame man, followed by Peter's explanation and preaching on the subject. The healing of the lame man forms a powerful parable for us, especially as it relates to falling short of following the example of Christ. You see, the lame man represents us. He was lame from birth, as we're told in Acts chapter 3, verse 2. And because of his disability, he was brought by people to the temple to beg, because he was unable to earn his own wages. We too are lame from birth in a sense. We possess a nature that is prone to sin, and because of this metaphoric disability, there is nothing we can do to earn our way into the kingdom. Even those who carried the man to the temple daily to beg couldn't really help him. All they did was carry him, but they had no power to heal him. But what does have the ability to truly heal the man? Peter identifies it for us when he addresses the lame man during his healing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The lame man had to have faith that he would put into action to rise and walk, despite having never done that before, and as a result, he was healed. Peter actually takes it a step further and explains to the Sanhedrin that the impotent man wasn't just healed. According to Acts chapter 4 and verse 9, Peter says the impotent man was made whole. The Greek word for whole means saved. According to Peter, because of the faith of this man, he wasn't just physically healed, but he was spiritually healed as well. How true is this analogy if we apply it to ourselves? When it comes to overcoming the problem of sin and our sin-prone nature, what help can anyone in the world be to us? At best, they might be able to help us temporarily, but nothing has the power to heal us, to save us, like faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We cannot overcome sin ourselves. We need the saving power of Christ. The second lesson we want to pull from this record comes from the curious timing of the progress report in verse 4 of Acts chapter 4. Despite Peter and John being thrown into prison for the healing of the lame man, the number of believers grew to about 5,000, as is indicated by the original Greek. In fact, listen to the remarkable response from the expanding ecclesia in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. And being let go, Peter and John went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when the ecclesia heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. In short, the ecclesia offers up a prayer to praise God because Peter and John were told not to preach or to heal in the name of Jesus Christ, and were thrown in prison as a result. That seems like an odd thing to praise God for, but it was no mistake, because this is what the believers said in their prayer. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. The believers pray for boldness to continue preaching despite the persecution they faced. It's interesting to note that they did not pray for the persecution to stop, but rather to be able to endure the persecutions. In essence, they prayed for courage. Sometimes we have events recorded in Scripture that seem like records of such monumental faith that we could never dream of aspiring to. Like Abraham being willing to kill his son at the command of God. But here, in the life of Peter, we have an example that can be really helpful to analyze because we see a progression that I think all of us can relate to. In the Gospel of John, after the crucifixion of Christ, the disciples were perplexed and confused at the events that transpired, and they decided to go fishing. While in the ships, despite not catching anything all night, a man on shore told them to cast their nets on the other side, and they caught an abundance of fish. Perceiving that the man on shore was Christ, Peter jumps out of the ship and rushes to shore, only to encounter a strange yet powerful symbol. John chapter 21 and verse 9 tells us that, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid thereon in bread. If you were listening carefully, you'd notice a very significant detail. The fire made by Christ to cook the fish wasn't simply a fire, but a fire of coals. You see, that phrase only occurs one other time, a few chapters earlier in John's Gospel. In John chapter 18, verse 18, when we are told that Peter warmed himself in the palace of the high priest by a fire of coals. It was here, while Christ was on trial, soon to be crucified, that Peter would deny his Lord, not once, not twice, but three times. Following the third denial, a rooster crowed, and Peter recalled the passion for which he claimed that, even though everyone will deny you, I am ready to die with you. But Christ warned him that three times Peter would deny knowledge of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Recalling these words of Christ, Peter fled the court and wept bitterly for his lack of courage. Imagine the impact on this apostle as he rushed to shore in John chapter 21, elated to see his risen Lord, only to be greeted with the imagery of a fire of coals that would have immediately cast his mind back to one of his deepest sources of shame, denying his Lord. Imagine the guilt. Imagine the sorrow. But these events would cause Peter to resolve to never deny his Lord again. Imagine the courage and boldness with which Peter would answer the Sanhedrin when they asked him, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Imagine the feeling of vindication Peter would have experienced as he proclaimed, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." At his ascension, Christ commanded his disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel. We too have the same commission, but when presented with the opportunity to preach, or to confess that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, How often do we stand up with courage versus how often do we slink away in fear? If we want to be successful in our lives in the truth, in following Christ, we need to confess His name to any and all that we meet and interact with. We can do that through the way that we act and the way that we talk, which should be different from those around us. My challenge to you this week is to boldly confess the name of Christ in your interactions with others, even if you might feel embarrassed or stressed or ashamed. And if you're looking for a source of courage, think about the first century believers who lost their jobs, who went hungry, who lost their homes, who were put in prison, who were persecuted, who were beaten, and who were murdered because of their beliefs. And despite all of that, they prayed that they might with boldness speak the word of God. Following this wonderful prayer, the believers are described as having one heart and one soul, of having all things in common. The believers began to sell their excess possessions and give to the apostles to distribute as needed. How did this help the early ecclesia? And what problems did this cause? Please tune in next week for episode 35 as we seek to find out, as we look at the next progress report in the Acts of the Apostles.